Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Recording.
We are here, everybody. welcome to Two Black Girls on Rose.
Where two black ass girls invade
the whitest in history
on earth. Help us, Jesus. The Bachelor!
The Bachelor.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And what a week it's been. We are just going to dive in.
Yes, we're just going to go right into it, guys. Into the foolishness.
Straight in. So I got a lot of feelings. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of thoughts. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to start with just like how I feel. I feel exhausted. Honestly, had a little bit of a breakdown yesterday.
Oh, no.
I had a shit day at work, and then I honestly was not looking forward to watching the episode.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking through recording this podcast and just like collecting all of my thoughts.
Yeah.
And then we get this amazing opportunity to be on ABC News Live and to talk again about The Bachelor. And honestly, y'all, this emotional labor of talking about racism and white peopling all the time is tiring.
So tiring, yeah.
It is tiring.
Yeah.
And when we started this podcast, I did not think we would become like activists, like voices.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. No. Mm-mm.
Did not think that. Mm-hmm. And here we are 3 years later. This franchise is acting up more than ever before.
Yeah, this is the worst. Yeah.
This is horrific.
Mm-hmm.
One would hope that this job would get easier and we'd see more progress. And, you know, we got our first Black Bachelor. We have the most diverse cast of women ever.
Mm-hmm.
But this bullshit with Chris Harrison just proved to everyone that representation is clearly not enough.
Yeah.
Casting a whole boatload of black girls and mixed girls and casting your first Black Bachelor don't mean shit. And I am so tired of how white people in privileged positions of power, and I'm talking about the producers, the casting directors of this show, do not understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't want to be like, woe is me.
Okay. Yeah.
But I do want to talk about exhaustion and emotional labor and, you know, black women, black people constantly. It's like our motto this year is I'm exhausted. I know white people are probably tired of hearing it, but it's the truth. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I think a part of this job that is not my favorite and that people don't really see is the exhaustion of this expectation that we are the voice of people of color of Bachelor Nation.
And
we have to have a hot take on all things related to race in Bachelor Nation.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know how Rachel Lindsay does this.
How?
I said it. I don't know how. Patience is a virtue and she is our sage. I literally said on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know how she does this. This is not the most supportive environment at all to be doing this. And I think, thankfully, you and I have gotten a lot better at protecting ourselves and, like, saying no and, like, not letting this world dictate our lives.
Because,
like, could we have dropped everything and recorded, like, an episode over the weekend?
Could have, maybe.
We could have.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did we? No.
No.
And we have to explain that to people, some people in our DMs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There was another girl in our DMs who was like, when I was posting the putting people on blast and Betra
said anything.
He's like, you're being so selective with who you choose. Do you expect me to be on Instagram all day long, just screenshotting and putting everybody, the hundreds of people in Bachelor Nation who ain't say shit? You expect me to sit up here, post up, and just be posting all day?
Right.
There are other people who are happy to do that. I'm not the
one. Go to Reddit, where the whole team is there, and they're doing it. The FBI
crew.
They're
doing it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are not the one, and that expectation is exhausting sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you, and I'm just going to come in just one time for a second, that because we have an audience that I love you guys so much, we love you, we love our community, they don't just see us as Black, they see us as Black women. So they expect us to speak not only on race, but misogyny, and not only on that, but LGBTQIA plus rights. On disability rights, they expect us to be the savior for everything because there's such a lack of representation, not only on the show, like it's very obvious that they're not doing the work on the show, but also because they're used to, there's a high expectation for us because we deliver, we usually deliver.
Yeah.
But to your point, that's exhausting.
I love recording this podcast. I love the world and the community, as you said, that we've carved out. When I say we, I mean all of us together have carved this out in Bachelor Nation. I am very flattered and inspired to see the influx of other podcasts that have, you know, risen up, people of color talking about The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Harrison being problematic did not just happen last week.
No, it didn't.
Rachel is not the first contestant with a racist past. None of this is new. It's just now the world gives more of a shit, and that's all fine and dandy. But like, what's been seen as like a hot take today has been our entire platform for 3 years.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm sorry if I'm a little bit tired.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired of the franchise. I only watch this shit because of this podcast, honestly. And I have a lot of fun recording and this whole world we've created. But sometimes, and this weekend was one of it, it feels it's like a moral crossroads as to like what the hell I'm doing here.
Yeah.
I am so pissed that the producers are doing this shit again.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by this shit is casting a contestant with a well-documented history of racism, history so documented that it took Reddit all of 5 seconds
it's
to find.
Just moments, mere moments for that girl to make that video montage
on TikTok
of all the racist shit that that girl's been doing. Yeah. Didn't
mere
take
moments.
Her long.
Did not take long. And this is happening on the first Black Bachelor season. There's a great chance, I don't know the spoilers, there's a great chance that Rachel won this thing.
Really? I would say she won. Like, by the way, everybody's at the top is acting, she won.
There's a great chance she won. That Matt James is currently in love with this woman.
Yep.
That Matt James chose the white girl who made fun of people in high school for dating Black men. The same girl who 2 years ago went to a party at a plantation dressed as a slave mistress.
Yep.
They set this man up in the same way that they set up Kenny and all the Black men on Rachel Lindsay's season when they cast Lee, another well-documented racist, anti-Semitic, anti-woman. Like, he had a whole boatload of shit.
Yeah, he was.
They cast him to live in the house full of Black men. It's infuriating sitting and watching last night's episode, watching Matt give Rachel a rose over Brie.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other story that we'll dig into when we get into the recap.
Right.
Watching this motherfucking twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
Knowing what we know and what he didn't know while recording.
Mm-hmm.
They got this man up here looking like a whole entire fool.
Idiot.
And they've left us at home, us who have been waiting for 20 years to watch a Black man's journey for love. We are just left feeling completely disrespected and like disgusted.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's the energy I'm bringing in right now.
Yeah. And it's just such a far cry from Tasia season. Like, we just hopped off one of the best seasons I've ever watched, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, a great season. They, I thought, handled the diversity of that season better than they have in the past. Yeah. And we are just jumping into this season with this Black man who, it is so obvious that, first of all, we were right. You cast this man in June because George Floyd was murdered and white people cared. That's the mm-hmm. only reason. It is very obvious that you didn't do any of the work. There was no sensitivity training. First of all, fuck your sensitivity training. First of all, the kind of training that like a Chris Harrison needs takes weeks, months, years of giving up opportunity, of having consequences for his actions, things that he is not used to, clearly, ever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's not, racism is a disease. It's not the flu. You cannot cure racism with a sensitivity training. You cannot right. cure implicit bias with 90 minutes. With a workshop. And it's very obvious that they gave these people maybe a workshop optional on Zoom. Like, mm-hmm. it is very, very clear that there was no work that was being done. Because this man is out here asking the wrong questions, saying, oh, is your mom going to grill me? That's not the right question, Matthew. That is the wrong question.
No, Matt.
And you chose this girl. I'm going to say it again. You called her. Y'all recruited her.
She said it herself.
She said it. She outed you. Episode one.
Yes.
There's really no excuse because we know all of the facts. You announced this bachelor after Batch Diversity came out, after Change.org petition, after this, that, and the third. And by the way, you all with these Change.org petitions are really doing some good movement. Because there's like millions of people who watch the show. They'll get a 30,000 signature Change.org petition and like change the whole course of the show. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
y'all are doing some great work with those out there. Shout out to y'all. But yeah, it's just very clear that there was like some lazy representation going on. Nobody's doing the work. Me and Natasha do way more work than any of these producers do. This is very obvious. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's very tiring. And me and Natasha can't even go nowhere and escape. Where are we going to escape to? Where are we going to go?
Trapped in this bitch. God help us. Oh, so that's how we're feeling. Just
yeah, that's
first,
how we
guys.
Feel, yeah, guys.
We haven't even gotten into anything. 12 minutes in, haven't even talked about the interview. Oh, so... this interview,
wow.
Chris Harrison, Rachel Lindsay.
Mm.
I want you guys to remember who Chris Harrison is.
Please.
Chris Harrison took down his black square on Instagram.
Right.
That's the level of petty this man is.
Right.
The bare minimum action you could do to show support for racial equality over the summer was to post a black square on Blackout Tuesday on June 2nd, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Harrison put his up. Quietly deleted it a few weeks later.
Yep.
This is who we're dealing with, guys. So let's just manage our expectations off rip. This is Chris Harrison. This is the spokesperson of face of this show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the person who the franchise put in charge of holding Lee accountable in the hot seat after the final rose during Rachel's season, a man with a well-documented history of racism.
Mm-hmm.
He is the same man who was put in charge of holding Garrett accountable during Becca's season on After the Final Rose, when she chose that man and then had to explain his slew of anti-everything Instagram activity. Oof.
And then broke up with him 2 years later.
And then broke up with him for the same reason, for him being an anti-everybody.
Reason!
We had to watch both of those men in the hot seat with Chris Harrison, who's supposed to be holding them to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And those were probably two of the most disappointing, unsatisfying After the Final Rose moments ever, you know, on this show.
Except when Rachel Lindsay said, if you want a history lesson, I'll give you one. Because they don't protect Rachel Lindsay's emotional... emotional value. They don't value anything that she's actually stepping up and doing. Chris just nods his head and is like, wow. After the break, and then that's it.
Straight up, literally.
That's
straight
it. Up. That's it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the same man who was put in charge of now holding Rachel McConnell accountable.
Please.
On Extra.
Yeah.
With Rachel Lindsay.
Yep.
And this time, that shit backfired.
It sure did. And I always wonder, like, when's the moment when white people care? Because we have been noticing this the whole time. So I'm like, what's this moment where you guys, where white people care about this? And a lot of you guys have DM'd us about that. So thank you for your knowledge. Because
what do you mean the moment that they cared?
Like, we have known because of, like, snippets from interviews. Again, his complacency when dealing with racist contestants on the show, being an executive producer of the show. So knowing that these people were racist coming on for this contestant, and his just sort of very, very boring approach to his job and not really changing at all over the whole 20 years. We've known this. So I don't know when a white person who's been watching The Bachelor, who's watching that interview, says, like, whoa, that was really bad. Like, what makes it?
Okay.
How did you not know? Like, what? You know? Like, what?
Yeah. Sometimes they need it to be so blatant their face in that way that's when they discover it, even though, as you and I know, many of us have been seen this.
Been
known.
Yeah, I don't know.
He does this interview. There's literally no other choice for the franchise or for Chris but to send his ass packing because this shit was atrocious.
Oh, yeah. This is really bad. Yeah.
This is really bad.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He had one job and it was so easy.
So condemn racism. Easy. So you don't even have to condemn. You can say, I haven't spoken to her. I would love to hear what she has to say about the matter. And we're going to wait for that moment. Catch you on after the final rose.
Right.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
One job.
Mm-hmm.
That was his only job and he failed.
Yep.
And he failed because he felt some type of way personally.
Oh, and we're going to get into it. I already told Natasha we got some themes going. You guys know I love a theme. There's moments, right, where you watch a white man be afraid that his job is being taken away by, like, hashtag diversity, right? There's moments where you look at that white man who has had his job forever, who wants his job forever. He wants to be out here, like, fucking, who's the old man with the New Year's? Like, he wants to be 95 years old still hosting the show. There are moments where you look at them and they think that diversity equals white erasure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a fear that is with every sentence that he said, he displayed that same fear that we've seen before. So Tosh, let's get into it, right?
Yeah.
So he did this interview. 10 seconds in, accountability is dropped. 10 seconds in, Rachel says, oh, what do you think about the allegations against Rachel McConnell? Blah, blah, blah. And he says, Rachel, you tell me. Boom. Accountability. I don't want nothing to do with it. Yeah, I am white man. I am EP on this show. How dare you ask me about the racist decision that I made on purpose on this show?
You tell me.
I'm dropping this accountability because not only do I not have the tools, I probably think something problematic that people are going to chase me down about. And I don't want to lose my job because diversity equals me losing everything that I've worked for.
Massive defensive chip on his shoulder from like minute one.
Yeah. From 10 seconds in.
Yep. 10 seconds in. Mm-hmm. Exposed himself. He failed massively. Failed. When you fail your job, you get fired, period.
You get fired.
That's it.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I've noticed, too, that there's even a theme of hosts who are who have been doing it for too long who do this. Andy Cohen does the same thing. He will sit on a reunion and be like, listener, blah, 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 said, and ask some wild question.
Wild question. Andy's been like, going in on some of these reunions.
I didn't ask it. It was the listener. Chris Harrison is doing something very similar, but putting the responsibility for some reason on Rachel Lindsay as if all of Bachelor Nation hasn't seen that TikTok.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like it's not weird. Yes.
It's not like big black woman is coming to get your job. Rachel Lindsay don't want your funky ass job. She already has 15 of them. She don't need yours.
And you're right. He's talking like he lives in this vacuum where no one has seen the videos. We've all seen the videos, the documentation for the past 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, so my thought, like, when the host the show is this backwards, and as you said, telling Rachel Lindsay, you know, it's your job to hold her accountable, telling Rachel Lindsay what constitutes as racism, defensive and rude as fuck, you know, talking over her, acting as if racism was invented in 2020.
Yes.
That shit is where I was like, oh, wow, he really just went there. Acting as if these parties at plantations are just like harmless frat parties that weren't racist 2 years ago. You know, we're looking at it in a 2021 lens. When this man is this backwards and this outspoken on this giant platform saying all of this, you can only imagine the producers.
Yeah.
The casting directors.
Yep.
The hair makeup team, the on-site therapist, the people doing the background checks. You can only imagine just this entire environment behind the show. People who have been left in charge to craft the narrative of the first Black Bachelor.
Yeah.
And to make sure that the woman of color, and we've seen more women of color ever cast, they are the ones left in charge to make sure that those women are protected while they're
safe.
There.
Yeah.
That is what disturbs me the most. Is thinking about that background, that environment behind Chris Harrison when he himself is the spokesperson for this
franchise. Which he also tried to get away from. He also, when Rachel asked him, do you think the show is going to speak out? He said, I don't know. You are the show, my man. You are the show.
Yeah.
You've been doing this since, you know, the Great Depression. You have been hosting this show forever. You are the show.
Now you don't know.
And now all of a sudden you're just in disbelief. You don't know. Hoo-wee.
Chris Harrison was clearly very ill-equipped for his job, in particular on this year's season, in this historic season, in this historic year of 2020-2021. He showed his whole entire ass, and those supporting him, those supporting Rachel, are peak Bachelor Nation, and all of y'all can kiss my black ass because we are burning this shit down. Your beloved Chris Harrison has lost his job.
Yeah, he gotta go.
Boo hoo, a white millionaire is out of work.
He's
gonna be fine.
Yeah.
We taking this win though. Thanks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even the cost of this win feels like it's not even a win. And that's how I felt when Matt James was announced the Bachelor. I felt like it wasn't even a win. Because why did it take a black man being murdered on video for you all to sit here and have a black bachelor? That is disgusting and absurd. And like Natasha said, you all did not acknowledge that.
No.
Which let us know that was the foreshadowing that this was going to be a mess. Now, I didn't know it was going to be this bad. I didn't know he's going to pick a racist white girl over three black women of color. This is bad. Like, this is real bad. this is not good.
I don't even want to believe it till I see it. I really can't.
But him not saying anything, Matt not saying anything, makes me feel like, okay, like, this is, you know.
Yeah. Now, do you have more thoughts on Chris? Because I have some stuff about Rachel.
Oh, yes. Yes. Keep going. Yes.
Rachel McConnell. Not Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel McConnell. Yeah, okay.
Now, Rachel, this girl wears many different hats. On one hat, she's this poor girl. She didn't know any better. She was ignorant. She was young and dumb. You know, she's being thrown to the wolves. The woke police are getting after her. You know, she innocently went to this frat party, and that's it. It's innocence. It was ignorance. Then under another hat, she's a grown-ass woman, ready for a husband. She's ready to build a life, ready to build a family. She's emotionally secure and mature and ready for marriage with a black man. The Rachel defenders, the Rachel stands, y'all are allowing her to wear both of these hats, and it doesn't make sense. Which is it? She cannot be given the benefit of the doubt as a young, dumb girl who didn't know any better, but then in the same breath, we're supposed to treat her as a grown-ass woman ready to marry a black man in 2021. Pick one, because you can't get both. You can't.
Damn, friend. That's very true.
That's the narrative that's out there. The people who stand for her. And it's very confusing for me to understand, because this sounds like two different people we're talking about. Which one does it? She don't get to be both.
Yeah, it does. And I hate the people dug into her parents, because I would hate for somebody to dig into my parents. But if you come from a sundown town and you have parents who are so outward with their thoughts that are problematic specifically towards race, and you're dating a black man, you have agency, as Natasha said, as a 24-year-old woman who's ready to date and marry a black man. You have a specific level of agency. You have to step up in a certain type of way to be able to do that and to represent that in an interracial couple relationship that is so, so public.
Exactly. So I've been done with her since the first time, like the first shit that came out with her. I said it before. Sorry. I have very, it is so, and I'm trying, but it is very hard for me to have sympathy for racist Gen Zers, period. Y'all grew up with a black president for 8 years.
You have.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which you know is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Had a cell phone since you were 11. You have access to the world and knowledge in a way that no other generation before has had access and knowledge.
Yeah.
You came on this show allegedly ready to marry a whole entire black man, knowing damn well, I know you don't like to talk about parents, but I can, knowing damn well that your parents are Trump supporters.
And to be pro-Trump
is to be anti-black.
Exactly. 100%.
And if you didn't know that, you had no business being here.
Being on the show. No.
This is not the space for you.
No.
I don't have the energy to explain why dressing up in that antebellum garb, going to this old slave plantation and doing all that is racist. I don't understand why that has to be explained to bright-minded young people, why this is offensive and racist. I have no sympathy for the rude-ass awakening she is getting right now. And it irks me how white people get to cry ignorance. Chris Harrison's old ass was crying ignorance.
Ignorance, yeah.
Why don't you just know that attending a party at an old slave plantation is just wrong? Why does that have to be taught to you? Why does that have to be taught?
Well, because he believes he's right. He doesn't think it's wrong. He doesn't think so. He thinks it's...
Like, I get growing up in, like, let's take Rachel. Growing up in this culture, you have her, her parents are her parents. She can't get away from that.
Right.
But at what point do we hold people accountable for just being willfully ignorant?
Right.
At what point is she a grown woman with access to tools, i.e. Google, and can start to learn about why black people are marching in the streets year after year, decade after decade? I know you see them. It never occurred to you to try to understand what the fuck we barking about. It was probably just white privilege.
Yeah, it's probably just this summer though. She probably didn't see any black people marching before this summer. I'm sure. Yeah,
I'm sure.
But
I just don't that ability, that opportunity, that benefit to get to cry ignorance. I was ignorant. I didn't know. I'm learning. I'm trying to be better. At what point do we just say, you know better, you are a grown person, and why can't you know better? Why does everything have to be taught? And then the expectation of being taught is back onto us. But onto we've been crying people. About this shit for forever. Years. Y'all just don't listen. You don't care.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to say that from my perspective, right, I think I got up in here probably last week or 2 weeks ago, and I was like, she probably didn't know. Because if you went to public school in Georgia, you probably didn't know.
She probably didn't.
And that's a conditioning for me that I have an expectation on white people in certain aspects, right? Old white man, young black girl from the South, young black girl from even like a Staten Island or a Long Island. I have an expectation that you don't know. That is conditioning for me on two parts. Number one, white people have gotten away with this and they just had white privilege and it's embedded, right? Running all the way through my blood and my veins, unfortunately, in this country. Number two, it is conditioning so that I can keep even keel and level throughout life, because otherwise I will stress myself out to the point of death. If I have all this knowledge that everybody can do better and just won't, and that I have to do better and get half as much, there's no way I can live life like that. No way. And so I set myself to this conditioning, even though, as James Baldwin said, to be black and to be woke in this country is to be angry all the time. It's a level of anger that has to be dialed down. It's a level of defensiveness that has to be dialed down and dulled. It's the kind that turns into diabetes. It's the kind that turns into cancer. It's the kind that will kill you. And that's why we say we don't know how long Rachel has done this and can do this. That lady is grown, wants to have a family, is with her husband, and is a full-blown lawyer, and was sitting there watching that man interrupt her, degrade her at her job, knowing that she couldn't do anything. And she said on Higher Learning, if I reacted, nobody would pay attention to what he was saying. And I want everybody to know what he thinks. So I could not react.
Yep. Yeah. It's tough. I mean, I feel like the one positive I can find out of this whole thing is Rachel McConnell thing is I hope that this backlash, this turmoil, this giant fuss over these pictures will make, you know, the Rachel 2.0s, the Beckys, the little baby Karens out there at University of Georgia, this, that, and the third, think twice.
Afraid.
And maybe Google once.
Yeah.
Before they turn up to a party like this.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's it.
She's the sacrificial lamb. Yeah. Because we know she people been going to these parties for forever.
Yeah.
And as you said, I know she ain't know no better.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
Somebody has to learn, and I hope they all learn from this.
Yeah.
Now, why this child waited 6 weeks to issue an apology is one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard.
Same.
Rachel Lindsay said on the interview, there's nothing contractually holding her back.
Nope.
So why hasn't she said anything?
Mm.
That's what makes me think, again, we don't know the spoilers, please don't bring them over here, that she might have won this damn show, and everyone is in panic mode, and has for the last 6 weeks been thinking, what the fuck
we
do?
What are we gonna say?
What are we gonna say? And it literally took them 6 weeks to craft that apology. Now, the apology was an apology. We've seen them before. I have no thoughts. I don't really have much words
on
it.
No, I don't give really a shit. Yeah, hers or Chris.
I really don't care.
Yeah.
None of them.
Don't care.
Because she's going to be fine.
Exactly. I think it was Bachelor Data who said, like, cancel culture is not real. It's not real. Increased in following. Cancel culture is not real unless you're a minority or of any sort. Then it's real. Right?
Right.
Oh, God. Colin Kaepernick was canceled. Right?
Fully.
Like, he was canceled. Donald Trump impeached twice, acquitted twice. Boom. Not canceled. Okay?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't exist for
white
people.
It's not a thing.
Yeah, it's not a thing.
Homegirl already has 380,000 followers. I think she's one of the most increased follower counts this season after, like, Matt James, obviously.
Right, right.
Once all of this blows over, and all of this always blows over,
blows over.
It will. Yep. She'll be booked. She'll be busy. She'll be fine.
Yep.
She will probably, Instagram-wise, she will be busier and booked than Piper, Serena P, and C, Chelsea, who are bad bitches in their own right.
Listen, Serena C can...
Outside of Instagram.
Serena C can sell me anything. Sand at the beach.
Anything.
Oh, my God.
So I'm not even worried about those ladies. They're going to stay booked and busy and successful outside of Instagram, regardless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But they will never even be afforded the privilege of even the slice of level of social media fame and opportunities that women like Rachel can garner simply for being pretty and white.
Yep.
And once this shit blows over,
yep,
she'll get back to being that. She'll be fine. That's it. Oh, Lord. What now? What next? I got a whole...
I know. You mean what's next for the franchise, or what's next for Natasha?
What's next for what we about to dig into? Because I got a whole thing on a performative allyship.
Oh, let's go!
Let's do it. Oh, God. So, over the weekend, Bachelor Nation alums showed their true colors. Colors we've already known, because
we've been known. Yeah.
We've been known this. We've seen this. But who truly during this, you know, when something rocks your world, the Chris Harrison kind of rocked Bachelor Nation world.
Yeah.
Everybody's
right,
on pins and needles to see how you're going to react to what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And a lot of people showed their whole ass. The amount of performative allyship, which is like a term that I didn't even know a year ago, but now it's like literally just sums up what we saw this weekend, the amount of performative allyship that was demonstrated irked the hell out of me. When I say performative, I mean pretty much everyone's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Reposting the Blatcherettes.
Yeah.
IGTV.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep. And then saying that they're own. Listening and learning. Meanwhile, if you watch...
And pretty font.
Yeah, right. Meanwhile, if you watch the video, she's talking about, like, slavery. What the fuck are you listening and learning?
Can we get specifics?
At the good age of above 25, what the fuck are you doing listening and learning?
Learning. Bare essentials.
Whew.
So everybody's posting up the video. No statement.
No.
No face on IG.
No, right.
Just reposting the video and moving swift on.
Yep.
The one person I want to call the fuck out, just make an example out of him, because I'm just in that mood, is Dylan Barber.
Oh, yeah.
His last name.
Yeah.
Hannah G's boyfriend.
Yeah. Okay.
He was on Hannah Brown's season. He is now best known as Hannah G's boyfriend. Has pretty much built a following off of that.
Yeah.
Dylan, Hannah G, that whole brand of Bachelor contestants, they all can kiss my black ass, and here's why. Dylan recognizes the power of his voice because he used it 2 weeks ago. He did a Twitter Q&A where he came out in defense of his friend Jed.
That's right.
He claimed Jed never cheated on Hannah Brown.
That's right. He did do that.
His 193,000 followers on Twitter saw it.
Yeah.
And I bet his 639,000 on Instagram heard about it.
Yeah.
That little Q&A led to dozens of think pieces last week.
Yeah.
Bringing Jed back into relevance.
Yeah.
Everyone again is dissecting the whole Jed and Hannah B mess.
Yeah.
Dylan then did an interview with Us Weekly like a week later.
What?
Talking about said interview and backtracking how, you know, I'm very appreciative of the franchise. I didn't mean to put things on blast. You know, I've been given this platform.
Sir.
You know, that was not reflected in my statements.
Uh-huh.
All of this, these think pieces, this Us Weekly interview, Jed, and all of this coming back, all of this resulted because he did a Twitter
Q&A. Yeah.
My man, you can't tell me you don't know the power of your voice. Yet this weekend, this whole Chris Harrison mess, Bachelor Nation is on fire. What do we get from Dylan?
Silence.
A repost of the video.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I didn't know he
did
repost.
That. That's it. On to the next watch he's selling or FabFitFun box or whatever. Hannah G, his girlfriend, 1.5 million followers.
Yeah.
She has 600,000 followers on top of Rachel Lindsay.
Yeah.
The hardest working girl in Bachelor Nation.
By far.
What does she do? Same lazy post. Then on
she did post it? I didn't even see her post the video.
The same thing. She posted the same video. I think she had a little ear emoji in the corner. And then was on to dinner at Nobu or whatever the fuck.
Whatever the hell? No.
Whatever the hell.
Mm-hmm. Not the ear emoji. Oh, Hannah. Oh, no. She didn't watch that video. Oh, God.
Please. Dylan has more followers than Mike Johnson.
What?
Aside from being Hannah G's boyfriend, no one even remembers who the fuck this guy
is
from Hannah Brown's season.
No.
And he has more followers than Mike Johnson.
Who's working actively.
Who is working, yes.
Oh, God.
Now, what irks me so much is that Dylan and the like, I'm saying Dylan, but he is the representative of
the rest of them.
Line of people. Yes.
Yeah.
They would call themselves allies. You would look me in my eye and tell me that, you know, racial justice, I stand for it.
You think?
You know, I think so. If he put on the spot to say, do you stand for George Floyd getting murdered in the streets?
Oh,
he would
say,
absolutely not. I think that's wrong. I do stand for racial justice. I do believe that we are equal as humans or whatever. He might say, I don't see color and all kind of stuff, but I think he would say, yes, I stand for those things. Now, here is something huge happening in Bachelor Nation. And suddenly it's just not your job to speak on it.
I don't want to. I don't want to.
Suddenly it's just silence. And that is just so infuriating to me because this is your job.
Yeah.
As a white man with a voice and a platform and power, if you dare call yourself an ally, if you have any audacity to tell any black friend that you stand by them, this is your job. You don't deserve to say that you're an ally otherwise. Because you're either for me or you're against me.
Yeah, that's
period.
It.
Period.
Yeah.
That's it.
Too.
And these people, Hannah G and Dylan and all these people, it's almost like they're not humans. They're like mannequins selling things.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But they're just mannequins with more power. That's why we're only paying attention to them. That's it. That's
exactly.
The only reason. Yeah, because otherwise.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah,
yes.
you could interchange Dylan and Hannah for all I care. I don't care.
That's
yeah.
But that's the crazy thing is like they're not mannequins. They are actually real people.
Money-making machines. Yeah.
Behind, yes, there are people behind the handles. This is a white woman, a woman given a humongous platform.
Mm-hmm.
1.5 million people follow her every move.
Yep.
She had a choice, and she chose to use her platform to capitalize on her pretty whiteness and to do nothing with that privilege by way of bringing voice and awareness to anything.
Yep.
Can you imagine, Justine, having 1.5 million people tune into you on Instagram just at your disposal and doing literally nothing meaningful with it?
Nothing. No. No.
I can't even imagine that headspace.
No, me either. Me either. To think that I have no purpose for any greater good by having all of these people follow me? No, there's no way.
I just can't imagine it. It's annoying. It pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I see that performative bullshit, I just rather you stay and do nothing.
Just stay and do nothing. Oh nothing. My God.
Don't give me that post.
Oof. No. Mm-mm.
Do absolutely nothing. Just like Hannah, motherfucking Ann, who sold her next lip gloss. Sold another flower set. Whatever the hell.
Didn't even
try to insert herself in this mess because she knew better. And she, you know what? Stay wrong and strong over there.
Yeah.
I respect that more than I respect this.
Same.
Bullshit.
Same. Mm-hmm. Same. Yep.
I got one more thing.
Okay. Let's get into it. Let's do it.
Sean Lowe ain't shit.
He is trash. Trash. You know what he's really trash for, though? You all go read the statement. It's terrible. It's one of the worst I've ever read. It is terrible. Please go read the statement. The worst part in that statement is, I don't condone racism. I hope you all know that. No, the black fuck I don't.
How would
I know that? There has been not a single iota of action on your part. Not one.
How would I know that?
How would I know? Now you just over here using Jesus in defense of this? And me being a follower of Jesus knows how if you speak on his name wrongly that you will be persecuted in the future. And you are sitting here saying a whole bunch of nothing. Yet he also knows how big he is in this franchise because he's the only bachelor who's been married, to be honest. He's the only one who picked his, who picked the girl and married her and they have a future. He knows how big that is. And chose to say, I side with my fellow white man. And I, too, don't want to lose a single cent of Instagram influencer fame. And I cannot fathom even thinking about going against Chris Harrison or siding with equality and with Rachel Lindsay and with respect for women. Because a lot of these people are not looking at, like Dylan, right? You are only famous because of your girlfriend. Ain't nobody paying attention to you. But you went against a woman, Hannah Brown, who her apology was also trash, all about her. I'm not sure what even she was doing. Who ruined that girl's life because she could have had Tyler C and now she got a Tyler C lookalike. Now you are coming to defense of that man, one of the worst winners, knowing that you are only famous because of your girlfriend. So we're against women now, right? Sean Lowe, same thing. Rachel Lindsay is a woman and he was speaking to a woman like that at her job. And you're going to go and say that he needs grace for what? For what?
What?
I'm so confused on what he needs grace for. I'm so confused on what we need to give him space for. He had all the space in the world in that 13 minutes and 51 seconds. He could have backtracked, like we said in the very beginning. This didn't even need to be an interview. This needed to be a one-sentence answer. And he was the one who was insistent upon all of this. He was the one, not Rachel. Rachel was not pressing him. Like she said on Higher Learning.
He came with an agenda.
He came with an agenda.
A 15-minute agenda of his own.
And I'm not going to say because he had a change.org petition because Fire Chris Harrison is now trending that he's learned shit. He hasn't learned nothing. Whew. Okay, I'm sorry, friend. I'm sorry. All you had to do was say show and low, and I went off.
You went off.
I'm sorry.
It was just offensive. Yeah. He said, Jesus loves me. Uh-uh. And Jesus loves Chris Harrison.
Get Jesus out of this. Get Jesus out of here.
And I
want to
give him grace.
No. No, no, no,
because
no, no.
Because he apologized, mm-mm. and that's what Jesus would do.
Mm-mm. No, no, excuse no, no.
Me,
no.
Sir?
Jesus would not be racist. You fucking, oh my God. Oh my God.
And yeah, as you said, not a word about racism, not a word about Rachel Lindsay, not a word about nothing. Just immediate defense for Chris Harrison.
Yep.
In the name of Jesus. What?
Like, Jesus was not involved with this.
It's just irked me. Sean, he has been a beloved figure of Bachelor Nation.
Yep.
I pray that pedestal that you have set up high this whole time gets knocked the fuck down.
Absolutely.
What you didn't say in all of them words is that you stand with the people of color offended by Chris's words and the actions of this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You also had one job, Sean.
Yeah.
And you also failed.
Yeah.
And I will never forget which side of history you fell on during the Chris Harrison.
Bullshit.
Yep. So you can also kiss my ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Okay. Okay. Good. Yeah, I think I'm. Oh. One more thing. Just one more thing. Just one more.
Yes.
Okay. I've been seeing a lot of comments because it's really hard to get off of Instagram when we had so much lovely support come through. And just like seeing all the notifications and stuff. And I've been seeing a lot of people on Chris Harrison's comments, on other people's comments, whatever, Caitlin Bristow, whatever, saying like, cancel Rachel Lindsay. She's just this. Mike Johnson gets this quite often as well. And it's not lost on me that like hashtag Bachelor Nation LLC, like whatever that is, has hired Mike and Rachel and Tasia and Natasha Parker to be on audio exclusive platforms to tell the story and narrative of their show. And to continue that audio narrative throughout the show, throughout the week, that those are audio exclusive. So they are not being seen. It is not lost on me that they have those jobs in particular.
Podcasts,
yes. And I loved Brian, and I love Brian and Mike's podcast. I think it's so much fun.
I do,
fun.
Too. I've listened to one or two episodes. Yeah. That was pretty good. Yeah.
I think it's nice. Yeah, they're like, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And them having that ability to tell those audio narratives throughout the week is not going to make Chris Harrison lose his job. And I feel like there's a lot of like parallels between those. And the man who gets paid the most is still the white man who doesn't say anything or do anything. But the black people who are behind the scenes, behind the curtain, are doing all that work to really further the show into a modern platform. Because he has said that he doesn't like Reality Steve and he doesn't like podcasts talking shit about the show. Mm. And because they do so much work as the producers to make it such a great value show for America and all the rest of this. But you hired all those black people to talk about the show throughout the week. And to continue that, to build a force to continue that conversation throughout the week with clickbait, Bachelor Happy Hour, and I always want to call it Keep Talking with Mike and Brian. I don't know what it's called, but it just makes me happy. Keep talking.
Mm-hmm.
Something with talking it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not lost on me. And I love that Rachel Lindsay has Higher Learning as her like black side.
Yes. Fully hers.
It's just hers. I love, love that podcast. And yeah, that was the only other point that I wanted to say that I was
That is true. Chris Harrison, even in his whole thing with Rachel, was talking about the people of the internet and people on the internet saying all this stuff. And it's like, you understand the value of the people of the internet because Reddit, Bachelor on Twitter, Bachelor on Instagram, all these different Bachelor podcasts. We help feed you guys.
Yes, we do.
This is not a show that just exists in a silo. There is a world called Bachelor Nation that exists on the internet that we as a community perpetuate to feed you. So you can't get one without the other. You cannot get Rachel Lindsay on a podcast and set up all these Bachelor podcasts with all these Bachelor figures, but then denounce podcasts and denounce the people on the internet and denounce it at the same time.
Black ones. It's black not lost on me that those are black people.
You're right.
That are doing the audio narrative throughout your show.
You're right. There's a number of them now.
There's a lot. There's three of them. There's three of them.
From Bachelor franchise. So.
Yep.
We see it, guys.
Sure
we
do.
Hey, guys. That's a little taste of this week's episode. If you want to hear the full recap,
head on over to patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose and sign up to get weekly recaps and other Bachelor content from us.
See you next week.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.